Hi, David Lynn Bousman. Welcome to Upcoming Dis.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, I have to tell you, in fact, this is perfect timing because I just got done watching The Barons last night.
Oh, excellent.
So, absolutely looking forward to talking to you about that. I guess just to give our audience just a little bit of history here, just want to ask a couple of quick questions leading up to that. The first is, what got you interested in doing movies, man?
I think that I was just scared to grow up, and I didn't want to go to a 9-to-5 job. I love the movies. I love hiding out in them and going to them and escaping in them, and so much so that I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I've been lucky enough and fortunate enough to, be able to.
Yeah, and you really started out with a bang. You got yourself involved almost right from the get-go with the Saw franchise.
Yes, it's been, I was extremely lucky. Going out the first movie out of the gate is, Saw 2, which is number one movie and opens across everywhere. So I was extremely lucky and to be able to follow that up with a few more of the Saw films, which has allowed me the flexibility to go off and do these things which I'm doing now.
Well, and especially after you got done Saw, you did probably the oddest movie I've ever seen, one of the most unique movies in Repo: The Genetic Opera.
I've always wanted to do things a little outside of the norm, and that's kind of my MO is to do things that are a little more unique and not so cookie cutter or carbon copy. And I think that Repo to me was probably the most real filmmaking that I've ever done because it was the most me. That and Devil's Carnival, I think, are me more so than any other film that I've ever done.
Well, you've definitely done a nice mixture of stuff, even though you're kind of staying in that horror genre. Is that on purpose? Is that something you'd like to stay with?
It is. I think that for me, I constantly want to try new things. And I think that my movies probably couldn't get more different than I've done. I mean, if you look at the Saw films, then go from Saw, which is violent and hardcore and intense, to Repo, which is full of camp and cheese, into something like Mother's Day, which is more dramatic than anything, and then into something like The Barons, which is very simplistic in what it is. I constantly want to keep doing things and new things. I always want to stay within that macabre thing, that whole macabre area of filmmaking. That being said, I always want to try and make different movies.
Well, and let's get to the Barons, which is the reason that we're talking today.
Yeah.
The first thing that kind of strikes you when you even hear about the Barons is, you got the lead story, the Jersey Devil story. And did it worry you at all, even though this is a very different movie, did it worry you at all that you're treading on some of that Blair Witch, territory at all?
No, because I mean, there's a million movies about everything. There's a million movies about, terrorists, like in Die Hard, taking down the tower. There's a million movies about people going fishing, or a million movies about outer space. I think for me, this is just another movie in that kind of camping mentality. And I think though that for me, the challenge was that I wanted to make a movie independent of the monster itself, meaning that if you remove the gimmick from the movie, if you take out the gimmick and say, we're going to remove the monster, do you still have a movie? And that was the same thing I do on any movie. Like, for example, Repo. If you remove the gimmick and the gimmick is singing, does the movie still hold up? Does the movie still work? In this case, if you remove the monster, and this isn't a monster movie, and I think that's the most important thing, and I
No,
think
it's
that
not.
the way that people promote movies sometimes does a film a disservice because I think people walk in the movie expecting a specific something. This isn't a horror movie, nor is it a monster movie. It's a dysfunctional family movie. It's a movie about a guy's relationship with his family and his descent into madness. There happens to be a monster in it, as opposed to a monster movie that happens to have a family that's going through hard times in it. And so it was a conscious effort to make the other version, the dramatic movie that happens to have a monster, as opposed to the monster movie that happens to be dramatic.
Well, I happen to agree, and I got to tell you, your biggest asset in this film is Stephen Moyer.
Stephen Moyer's great, and I think that was absolutely critical. If you're going to make a movie like this, the whole movie rests on the shoulders of the lead actor because you're asking the audience to buy into and believe a whole thing of his descent. If you don't believe his descent, it doesn't matter what else I do, the movie's over. And so for me, this is all about making his character, making Moyer a believable guy, and I think that he goes, he knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, and for fans of True Blood, you have to enjoy the fact that he's something so different from Compton here. It doesn't reference that role at all. It's a brave transition for him to do something just totally, totally different, and to do a movie that depends so much on his ability to sell that Descent into Madness.
I 100%. I think that it was a ballsy thing for him to do, because it's about as opposite from Bill Compton as you can get. In True Blood, he's a sex symbol. He's good looking.
Right.
He's as awesome, you know, whatever. And then instead, we decided to do the opposite of that, to not go on and play this good looking whatever dude. We want to play haggard, worn, depressed, anxiety ridden, paranoid, schizophrenic, basically. And I think that was, you know, for him to go against type of this, you know, leading man good look and do something like this, which was a risk, and I think it paid off for him.
Let me ask you, how linear was your shooting?
Well, you know, it was hard. I think it was hard for him. Sorry, that's disgusting. I think it was hard for him because you shoot as much in order as you possibly can, but that being said, you're never able to shoot directly in order.
Right.
And we had a really hard time shooting this movie because, well, first off, we had no time to shoot it. We shot the whole movie. It was supposed to be 20 days. It ended up being 16 with weather, where the whole script was written to take place in the process of 36 hours. And in 36 hours, it has to be done. It has to be continuity. You can't have it raining one scene and not raining the next scene, sunny one scene and not sunny the next scene.
Right.
And so it became a nightmare as we were trying to do this thing in order. Then all of a sudden, we'd shoot half of a scene, and the next scene, it'd be pouring down rain, and we'd have to stop and wait for it to stop raining. And same thing with Moyer. Because of this, Moyer had to know where his character would be at any given second, because there were those moments that we weren't able to shoot in order. And so, okay, Moyer, you're not really crazy yet. Now you're really, really crazy, and you're foaming at the mouth. Now you're a loving father,
right,
and everything's fine. And to be able to jump around like that, I think, is pretty, pretty hard.
Well, and that was my point with the question, because the more linear it is, the easier it is for him to remember where he's at in that phase. But by doing what you had to do, it must have been incredibly difficult. So what kind of things did you guys do together to kind of remind him of where he was at particular scenes?
Moyer was he's such a professional actor. He's so professional in what he does that he had it down. He had it on lockdown. There was not a lot of having to explain things to Moyer, tell him things. He got it. He knew the character better than anyone, including myself, who even read the script. So, you know, I was lucky enough to have such a talented group of people that kept their shit together and made me look good, as opposed to me trying to explain to him everywhere where he was. But again, we tried to shoot as much in order as possible. That being said, I mean, because of our rushed time frame, and also, we shot this over three different forests. And so, and each forest was 2 hours apart from each other.
Wow.
And so you would do like a shot of him running through the woods, and we'd have to go 2 hours away to pick up where we left off at that point 2 days later. And I think that, you know, he figured out a way and made it work.
Yeah. Now, your production values are great, especially for the low budget. But one criticism I think you're going to get, and I'm sure you're probably aware of this, I actually grew up around the Jersey Pine Barrens.
Oh, I know. It looks nothing like the Pine Barrens.
Right, exactly. It doesn't look much like it at all. It's very sandy and kind of open.
Well, the other thing is this. There's no rocks in the Pine Barrens, and we have massive rock structures.
Sure.
I mean, here, I've been trying to make this movie for 10 years.
Right.
It's been a thing for over a decade now. I've been trying to get it made. And one thing or another, we couldn't get it made. And finally, I have the opportunity now to make the film, but, you know, we were doing it on such a little amount of money.
Sure.
We had to do it in place that offered us the best tax incentive, number one.
Right.
Easiest in and out of shooting, and you know, in the case of this, we had to find a place that we could pull it off in the 16 days we had. And since I've shot 7 movies in Toronto, it was a no-brainer for us to go up there.
Yeah.
I constantly was agonizing over the most minuscule things, such as the type of pine trees. And the pine barrens, it's pitch pines.
Mm-hmm.
We're using red pines, and they look nothing like each other. Now, the hope is that 10% of the people might know that. The other 90% are never, and I've been to the pine barrens, are not going to know that at all.
Right.
Again, when you're doing Star Wars, they're not really in space.
Exactly.
And I think, but it was something that caused me many sleepless nights, and I'm so anal and obsessive about things that literally I would, and that's the other problem is that what you're seeing right there, we're using little bitty sections of a forest where they had pine trees. And there's my favorite thing is, though, however, there's a whole big scene that takes place in the middle of maple trees, which is kind of ridiculous, but at that point you just kind of got to go with it and say either I buy this movie or I completely don't.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people aren't focusing on the leaves or the fact there are rocks or that there's bumpy ground instead of a vast, barren landscape.
Well, like I said, I pointed it out because, like I said, being someone who's familiar with it, that was something I noticed. But I also wanted to make sure to emphasize that for the money, the production values are very good here, particularly when you can kind of tell that you're dealing with the weather, because I think that someone like me who does take a close look, I can see sometimes the inconsistency with the weather. But you know what? The next time you want to do a film, do it down here in Florida where that's just the way it is anyway. You don't even have to fake it. I mean, it's raining exactly. 10 minutes and not the next 10 minutes. And it could be raining, pouring down, raining, and 5 minutes later, the ground's completely dry.
I used to live in Florida for many years. I'm a big fan of Florida. And actually, you know, ironically, we actually looked at shooting in Orlando. There was a pine forest we found. And again, eventually it didn't work out. We had to go with what made the most financial sense for us. But yeah, I love Florida.
Well, and I got to tell you, around Ocala National Forest down here, which isn't that far from Orlando, near the university, there are some areas that do remind me of the old Jersey Pine Barrens.
Of course.
In the Ocala National Forest, there are some areas where the sandy area, you know, nature of it and such like that does remind me about that. But I got to ask you, you know, I understand, you know, the reason that you did what you did. When you're doing a low budget movie, you've got to make compromises. And so I guess one of the things I want to ask you is, what was the biggest compromise that you felt that you wished you hadn't had to make? I mean, what was the one that in retrospect, you're like, if I would have done anything to not have to do it this way?
Time.
Yeah.
I think it comes out of time. Is that when we started off to make the movie, we had 30 days.
Right.
And, you know, the thing about something like this is, When you go in and you plan on a 30-day shoot, you set your shots up.
Right.
Okay, we have to get 20 setups a day. We can do 5 or 6 takes per thing. And as through a series of unfortunate events, our budget dwindled and our days kept getting, you know, we kept losing days and days to make room for other things. Like, for example, I wanted an animatronic creature. I did not want a CGI creature.
And you didn't use CGI.
That costs money to build. Yeah. So you have to take days away from your shooting schedule. So we watched 30 days go down to 25, which went down to 20, which eventually went to 16.
Wow.
And as such, we were forced to do one take, move on. And I think that if I wish I had another week, I could have got a lot more coverage. I could have spent. I mean, here's the reality. You have these great ideas for scare scenes. You're like, oh, it's going to be this, and it's going to be. For example, I'll give you an example. There's a scene in it where Allie, the daughter, is walking through the forest, and she's calling her cell phone. She's calling her boyfriend's cell phone, and the cell phone's ringing in the forest. That was a 25-page storyboarded sequence with, 40 setups and great swooping crane shots and all these other things. And we look at the clock. We realize we have 40 minutes to shoot it. 40 minutes to shoot everything in that scene. And all of a sudden, the 25 pages of storyboards is put down to 2 shots.
Right.
And I think that that's always the hardest thing. You go in with these, you know, grand ideas, and in the very end, time is your, you know, time makes you your bitch. It's bitch, and you have to. You have to do whatever you have time to do. So I think if I could go back, I wish that we had more time. I wish I fought to get more time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have one more quick question here, and that is, and this may just be my perception, and I hope I'm not giving anything away here. There are times when it seems like the monster was supposed to be there but wasn't. I see times where Moyer's reacting as if the monster's there, and I realize this is happening in his mind too, but I just sometimes think that the monster was there, and for some reason at the last minute it wasn't.
You're correct, and yes, it was a decision. We have a lot more footage of the monster, a lot more, that we opted not to use. And I think, again, the whole less is more kind of idea came down to it. I also think the more you saw it, the more unbelievable it became. So we wanted to hold back on it. That being said, there's a whole other edit of it where you see the monster get 2-3 minutes more in the movie. And it's in the movie less than a minute now.
Right.
I think the first edit is maybe in at 4 minutes.
All right. Well, we're kind of running out of time. They're going to kick us off here. But just real quick, what's coming up next for you? Got anything else down the line we should keep an eye out for you?
We're turning my comic book series Abattoir into a movie now.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm working on. In all my free time is this thing called Abattoir, which is a very, very horrific comic book, more along the lines of Saw than anything I've done recently.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited by.
Well, we'll be looking for it. And if you ever get down here shooting in Florida, definitely contact us.
We'd love to come and report from the set. Thanks a lot for the interview.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Enjoy the movie.
Thanks. Thank you.
Take care.